Now take your Bibles and turn back with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now the Apostle, last time we met, we looked at the rebuke of the Apostle Paul to the Apostle Peter. You remember that Peter, desiring to obey the law of Moses, separated himself from the Jews. And the Apostle Paul said this concerning Peter, that he obeyed not the truth. He was walking unevenly. His confession was salvation was by grace through faith in Christ. And yet his conduct said that the law of Moses had something to do with his acceptance with God. And Peter said, that's an uneven walk. You cannot mix law and grace. You are either saved by the law or you are saved by grace. You cannot be saved by both. And that's what he said in verse 16 of chapter 2. He said, knowing, this is something we know, nobody's justified by the law, Peter, we know that. You and I, Jews, we've been under this law, we understand that. We know that a man is justified by one means, the faith of Jesus Christ. And what I mean by faith of Jesus Christ, I mean the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Not only his faith in God, but his obedience to God and his death. We know a man's justified that way. And that's why, Peter, we believed in Jesus Christ, that we can be justified by his faithfulness. That's why we believed in it. And he said, Peter, if we go back under the law, we've made ourselves sinners. Because that's all law can do, make us sinners. And he said, is Christ a minister of condemnation? No. The law is the minister of condemnation. The law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do. The law is a minister of condemnation. That's what it is. Can't help you. So if I'm under the law, guess what I am? I'm cursed. I'm cursed. Well, Christ's not a minister of condemnation, is he? He's a minister of life. He's a minister of no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so now he's taken his eyes off Peter. He gave that illustration for a very important purpose. Because the church of Galatia was doing exactly what Peter was doing. They chose a different law. Peter chose the law concerning meats. The church of Galatia chose the law of circumcision. So it doesn't really matter which part of the law you choose. You want to choose the Ten Commandments. You want to choose the dietary. You want to choose Sabbath worship and tithing, whatever part. If you choose one, you're under the whole thing. That's what he's telling them. That's why it's so important. And listen to what he says to these Galatians. Look at chapter 3. Now he turns to them and he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath seduced you? That's what it is. Bewitched. Enticed you. Listen, legalistic religion is enticing. Makes us feel good about ourselves. We do something and then we look at what we've done and then we feel good about ourselves. It's seducing. If I do religious deeds, I feel religious. Therefore, God must love me. No. It's seducing, but it's not right. It's just a deception. It's an illusion. Just because you feel good about yourself doesn't mean that your relationship with God is good. That doesn't have anything to do with it. I tell you what, I feel more the opposite. You believers, you understand this. We feel more the opposite. But because salvation is by grace, I don't care how I feel about it. My salvation doesn't depend on how I feel about it. Religion is all about feelings. That's it. But true gospel is dependent upon. So who seduced you? That you should not obey the truth. Listen to this. This is going to be my point. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. In other words, Paul said, who bewitched you? I preached, did I not preach the gospel to you? When he said the cross of Christ, that is synonymous with the gospel. The cross of Christ is synonymous with the gospel in this. The cross is the center of the gospel. It is the foundational point of the gospel. The cross of Jesus Christ. He told those Galatians, the Colossian church, he said, I determined, I'm doing this on purpose, not to know anything among you, but one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Somebody once said this, a message without the cross of Christ or the blood of Christ is an abomination in its preparation, abomination in its execution, and an abomination if you believe it. Anything besides the cross of Christ. Why? It is the foundational point of the gospel. Without it, there is no gospel. If we're going to talk about, you know, your family and your circumstances and all of those things, that may make you feel good, but there's no gospel in that. This cross is the gospel. He said, did I not preach the gospel to you? If the cross of Christ is not preached, if the blood is not the substance of our pardon, our forgiveness, our justification, our sanctification, it is not the gospel. If that's not preached, then you're not hearing the gospel. We're going to sing that hymn, nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. Nor riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross, listen, is my only foundation. The death of my Savior, redemption, has wrought. I am redeemed. Not with silver. I'm bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, yes, a price. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we're bought with. We're redeemed. This is the message Paul set forth among them. Look to the Lamb of God. And when you look to Him, keep looking to Him. You see, they professed to look to the Lamb of God. And then what did they do? They shifted their eyes from the Lamb of God to the law of Moses. No. You look to the Lamb of God, and then what? Keep looking to the Lamb of God. Why? He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can save you. Now I got 3 points concerning the cross of Christ. I'm going to preach the cross to you this morning. The cross of Christ. I want you to know this. First of all, it is the only means of salvation. There's no other means. What do I mean by salvation? Now you're going to hear a lot of words, and they're all synonymous. Redemption. Sanctification. Justification. Reconciliation. What am I saying when I say all of... I'm saying salvation. You have to have all of them to be saved. You can't just have redemption without sanctification. Holiness. That's what we're... you make it simple. The word sanctification means holiness. If you have redemption, guess what else you have? You have holiness. Right? If there are no more sins, if they're all bought, if they're paid for, if they're gone, then what's left but holiness? You're sanctified by the blood of Christ. You're justified. What does justified mean? It means this, that I have never sinned. Somebody who is justified has never sinned. When Christ died for me, He justified me. He made me to be without sin in the eyes of God. So when I use all these words, reconciliation, when I reconcile, that brings someone together, right? Can you be brought together without redemption? Can you be brought to God without redemption? Can you be brought to God without being holy? Can you be brought to God, reconciled to God without righteous? No. And this was done by Christ at the cross. Now, the second thing I want you to see is that this redemption was successful. And the third thing I want you to see is that the preaching of this is the power of God to save. So first of all, the preaching of the cross is our only means of salvation. Now, In the beginning, when our father sinned, when Adam sinned, he plunged us all into death and hell. He plunged us all into sin. When he sinned, we sinned. That's what a representative is. Somebody who represented you. Adam represented us, and he sinned. And in him, our representative, we sinned. Now, what's the result of that? When you're born into the world, you are born a sinner. Nobody taught you to sin. It's natural to you and me. While we were born in sin. But at the same time, God gave a promise of reconciliation or redemption. He said, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Remember, the father of all sin is Satan. And God says, I'm going to take it out at the source. He's going to crush your head. And he's going to do this very specifically by you bruising his heel. God told that Christ would come and destroy sin, put away sin, by the bruising of his heel. And then he gave him a picture. You remember that Adam and Eve were naked and they were ashamed. What's the first thing that God did after he promised a redeemer? You remember he killed an animal and covered them with the skin of that animal. The first sacrifice that was ever made, God made it. And that was a perpetual picture that carried through their children on all the way through the law. You remember those two children, Cain and Abel. They brought a sacrifice, and Cain brought what? What did Cain bring? He was a farmer. He brought the fruit of his labor. I'm sure it was the best fruit. I thought about that banquet feast that Cain put out there. I'm sure it was elaborate. I'm sure that any one of us would have said, man, that's a good-looking meal. He put it out there, and he really meant it. He was sincere about offering that to God. You know what God said about his work? It says, Scripture says, God had no respect to Cain or his offering. You know why? Because it was without blood. Abel made an offering. He sacrificed a lamb that he didn't give birth to. He sacrificed a lamb he didn't work to make it grow. He didn't do anything. He led that little lamb out there to the pasture. The lamb fed all day. God caused the lamb to grow up. God provided the lamb. And he killed the lamb, and God had respect to his. Why? Because it was a blood offering. A blood offering. And then you see this carry on through the law of Moses on the Passover and the great day of atonement. All of those sacrifices daily were offered blood. The apostle said almost all things by the law were purged with blood. Now here's a maxim. Here's a statement of fact. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. There's no remission of sin without blood. There's no remission of sin without death. Death is the penalty for sin, and without it, you cannot have payment. That's what God's telling you. But the blood of those offerings, the apostle goes on to tell us this, that none of them paid for sin. They only pictured the offering of Jesus Christ that would pay for sin. That's what they were there for. And so Jesus Christ, for this cause, is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of his death for the redemption of the transgression to them that were under the first covenant, that they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Jesus Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, not of works. The law as well is a covenant of works. What did Cain find about the law of works? He found out God had no respect for his work. Listen to me. God does not have any respect to your work. Our work is unacceptable to God. Now, it may be acceptable to everybody else that we're doing it for. You feed the hungry, he's going to be thankful. You clothe them, They're going to be thankful. You did a good deed for that person. There's nothing wrong with that. Deal is, it's not anything to God, because you did it selfishly. And we do it selfishly. But God has made Christ to ratify a covenant of grace without works. Salvation without works. Isn't this glorious? Salvation based on nothing you do. It's astounding that we always want free things. This is the only free thing that men don't want. This is the only thing that men want to earn. But this is absolutely free. And Christ, by His blood, ratified that covenant, made it effectual, and He has redeemed us from the transgression. The law did none of this. The law only has a purpose of exposing guilt. I don't know, have you read the law? Anybody just take time to read the law? Every time I read it, you know what I feel? I feel guilt. Every time I read it. Why? Because I am. I've broken everything it said. And that's the purpose of the law. To expose sin. Not to help you overcome it. And what the law teaches us is that we are not sufficient to pay the debt. Why is hell eternal? Because they can never pay the debt. That's why. We cannot pay the debt. We are guilty under the justice of God, yet here is the mercy of God on display, that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only redemption price He has accepted. The only price He has accepted. In Galatians chapter 3, look over just a few, and look what it says. In verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law cursed me. But Christ has redeemed me from that curse. How? Being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Christ was made a curse. And I want to be very clear about this so nobody misunderstands. It is only the blood of Christ that can reconcile you to God. It is the only means of redeeming your sin. Now, religion says, okay, you want to redeem your sin, go do this. That's religion, isn't it? The Catholic Church will tell you, say five Hail Marys or whatever, they'll tell you to, you know, and then they, you do that and you'll be absolved. Where's the blood? Where's the blood? Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Where's the blood? I remember listening to this man, he was a Jew, and he was reading, and he had one question. Where's the blood? He looked at his religion. He looked at the law, and all he saw was blood. And he went to his rabbi and he said, Rabbi, I'm scared. Where's the blood? He said, well, you know, because of this and because of this, we don't have that temple, now is a mosque, we can't offer it. And he made all these excuses. But he was convinced of this, without the shedding of blood was no remission. And the Lord opened to him Christ. Why? Because He, by His blood, has reconciled us to God. And not by the goodness and obedience of man. We know this, everyone who has been reconciled, we know that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If anyone has ever come to Jesus Christ for the redemption, we see this, that we cannot reconcile ourselves. We've seen that our sin has alienated us from God and taken us away from communion with God. It is then that God manifests to us that the Savior has already redeemed. Go to 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18. Paul says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Don't you see that all that it took to reconcile us, he says, that's of God. All things are of God. And he did what? He reconciled us. Now, what did I tell you it takes to be reconciled? It takes a redemption price. You have to pay for your sins. Your sins have to be paid for. You have to be made holy. You have to be sanctified. You have to be without sin. You have to be justified. You have to be righteous to be reconciled with God. And listen, God did all these things for his people. How did he do it? Look at that. By Jesus Christ. That's how he did it. And we're talking about the means of salvation. How did he do it? By Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say by Jesus Christ and your obedience. No, he did it by Jesus Christ. That's it. That's how he did it. And then he gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, and this is our ministry, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. The word imputing means charging. Now listen, he did not deny it was their transgression. I do not deny my sin is mine. My sin is mine. Your sin is yours. Yet God, by sending Christ, said this, I am not willing to charge you, even though it's yours. I'm not going to charge you with it. Well, that's good. Well, how are you going to do that? He was in Christ reconciling the world, not charging their trespass to them. He committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled. Here's the foundation. For God hath made him to be sin for us. This is how he reconciled us. He took your sin, your guilt, and made it to be Christ's. The great exchange. The great exchange. And listen, who knew no sin? This astounds me. This is a mystery. Don't tell me you got this figured out. I just don't believe you. Any man tell me he got it figured out, I don't believe you. I just don't. Because maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe you're really intelligent and I just don't understand. That's all right. I know it happened. I believe it happened. He was made sin for us. He bore our sin, Peter said, in his own body on the tree. And yet he felt no sin, he thought no sin, he did no sin while he was made sin. With me, it's just the opposite. He has made me righteous, and yet I confess, I have never done anything righteous. I've never felt righteous, never thought righteous, never been righteous. And yet, what I am, he never did sin, and yet he was made sin. For this purpose, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All that were in Christ, given to him, when the Father gave us to Christ, he died for all the Father gave him. They were, just as you were one with Adam, I told you were in union with Adam, when he sinned, you sinned. Even so, we who are in Christ are in union with Christ, so that when Christ died, we died in him. I didn't feel that, did you? Well, I didn't feel it when Adam sinned. I definitely didn't feel it when Christ died. That doesn't make it any less true. I was in him. And he is the means of our redemption. He is the means of our justification. And I want to show you a couple scriptures. I'll hold off on it. We'll move on. The second thing is this. I proclaimed to you the means. Now I'm going to proclaim to you this. When we preach the cross of Christ, we must preach the success of it. You cannot preach the cross of Christ without preaching the success. We can talk all day about the cross of Christ redeeming the sinner. But if he failed to redeem one of those the Father gave him, then he is not the Christ of this book. There are many today who contend for an open-ended crucifixion. That Christ opened the door and he made salvation possible. He died on the cross, but he really didn't actually redeem anybody until that person makes it effectual or powerful for themselves. It's kind of like they say that grace is floating up in the air, and all you got to do is reach up and grab it and bring it down to yourself. But the Christ who made salvation possible, the truth is, he actually redeemed nobody. It's possible he redeemed nobody then. Isn't it possible? If salvation is dependent not upon the blood of Christ, but upon the will of man, then it would be possible he redeemed nobody. We know that's not true. If Jesus died, I tell you this, according to the scripture, if Jesus died for everyone, there is no hell. He's so successful that if that was his purpose, there is no hell. If we were to follow modern religion, he said he died for all the sins of all people. He died for all the sins except for unbelief. Now consider that. What if Christ died for all the sins except for unbelief? What will you do to pay for unbelief? Does faith pay for sin? What I tell you pays for sin? Blood. Without the shedding of blood. So that if he died for all sins except unbelief, listen to this, there is nobody going to heaven. But the truth is, Jesus Christ died for all of the sins of all that the Father gave him. He died for all of the sins. And this is the truth. He is successful. He's successful. And any gospel that says that, well, he died to redeem me, I believe all that, preacher. But you know what? I believe he died for my redemption. He died for my justification. But you know what? I've got to add to that my obedience. Well, then you're saying that he's not successful. That's what you're saying. If you have to add anything to it, it's not done. This is the whole point of the letter of Galatians. They were seeking to add one thing to Christ. And Paul said, you do not obey the truth. You do not obey the truth. The gospel message of the cross that I preach to you, I preach a successful Savior. I'm going to give you a little taste of what's being said. I'm so thankful that God has put us in a little bubble sometimes. I'm thankful that you don't have to hear all the garbage that's out there. But listen, this was a very prominent man in Houston many years ago, and his church is still around. He's still preaching. He said this in public, and it just kind of floors me that they would even actually say this out loud. That there were two games being played at the cross. The thieves were gambling for the garments of Christ. And Christ was gambling for the souls of men. That's what they really believe. They do not believe in a successful Savior. If there is one person that Christ died for that's in hell, then friends, he is not Christ and the scripture is vain. Why? because God swears he shall not fail. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Christ said this, of all that the Father giveth me, I shall lose nothing. When the angel came, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And when I preach the cross of Christ to you, when I set him forth crucified among you, I want you to understand that redemption is only by the blood of Christ. And Jesus' blood was totally, completely, absolutely successful to redeem everyone he wanted to. What were his last words before he gave up the ghost? It is finished. It is finished. The message of the cross is a message of complete success. Is this the Christ you believe in? Is your Savior successful? Did he actually redeem you? I tell you by the word of God, then, those who believe on such a Savior are fully redeemed. Fully redeemed. Now, I want you to understand that faith in Christ is necessary. Everything I said to you and preached to you, I tell you by the word of God that a man must have faith. I want to know this. I know that he's successful, but is he successful for me? I know he redeemed a people. The important question is, did he redeem me? What is the evidence that I am redeemed? I really like to hear that, preacher, that he did redeem all the elect. That sounds wonderful, but is that me? How do I know I am redeemed? It is simply this. Do you believe on Jesus Christ alone? Faith, my friends, is the evidence of our redemption. It is not, doesn't have anything to do with my redemption, really. My faith in Christ does not redeem me. My faith in Christ is evidence of my redemption. Because faith, listen, it's not just an act of will. It is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Our Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me, I should lose nothing. That's great. Am I one that was given to him? Listen what he said. He said, all that the Father giveth me, there's going to be something about them. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They're going to know that they have no hope in themselves. They're going to know they have no righteousness in themselves. They're going to hear about me. My success. You know where they're going to come? They're going to come to me. I know this. When I came to Christ, because there was no place else to go. God had put me in a narrow place, and there was nowhere else to go. You got someplace else to go, you'll go. You got something else you'll trust in, you'll trust in it. When God took everything from me, I had no place else to go. And I know this in my heart, there was no place else I wanted to go. I needed him. You know what I found in him? I found everything he said I would find. I found peace with God. I found that my peace with God was not based on anything I could do to make that peace.
It was something that Christ did for me. I came to Him by faith. And I believe Him. I trust His blood. And He said this, when you come to Him, there is no way I'm going to cast you out. Isn't that comforting? I can find a million reasons for Him to cast me out. But He said, I will not. It is a determinate thing. I'm not going to cast out anyone who comes to me. Why? Because I determined him to come to me. I purposed he should come to me. He's going to come to me. When he does, I'm going to show him all my love. Circumstances in this life often make me feel as though God does not love me. My sin often makes me feel as though God does not love me. How do I know that He loves me? I can only see it when I see what He has given for me. He gave His only Son. Behold, what manner of love the Father has shed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I can't find any reason in myself to be called a son of God other than He loved me and gave Himself. The cross is the manifestation of the love of God. It's the only place you're going to actually see the love of God. It said He gave the one He loved the most so that I might be a son. And how then is this blood applied? How then does faith come to the sinner? That's my third point. First one is the means of redemption. Salvation is the blood. The blood successful for everyone He died for, and faith is the evidence of that. But how does one come to faith? We come now to the means by which the Holy Spirit gives faith. The preaching of the cross. Paul said, "Did I not evidently set forth Christ crucified among you?" The cross, the preaching of the cross, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I know God chose a people. Christ came and died for them. He is successful. I know this, that He will come to every one of them. And this is the means, preaching, preaching the gospel. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look what Paul said. Go to verse 16. He said, I baptized also the house of Stephanus, besides which I know not whether I baptized another. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, baptism is important. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only outward confession of faith is baptism. Baptism is the means that Christ has given by which we express to everyone, I'm with Him. I'm with Him. I'm going to tell everybody by this ceremony, I am with Christ. I am one with Him. But you know what? That's not why I'm sent here. Baptism, you need to be baptized. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not, you should. That's not really why I'm here. I'm here to preach what? He sent me to preach the gospel. How? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ may none affect. I'm not trying to tickle your reasoning and your fancy. I'm not trying to entertain. I don't entertain. It's not my purpose. Why? Because that makes void the cross. I don't want you trusting your feelings.
I don't want you to trust in the excitement that you feel. That's what religion wants. I want you to trust Christ. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Well, preacher, we have heard this over and over. It is so foolish for you to keep reminding me this. You know what? You're perishing. You don't know anything at all about this. If you want something else, you don't know anything at all about this. Why, it's foolishness to you. It was foolishness to me. I was a great theologian at 16. At least in my own mind, I was a great theologian. I knew all the theology that you could. I loved debate. Boy, I loved it. It just made me feel good. I'd take a person, I'd just box him in, put him in a corner. Boy, I thought I was doing God a service. So proud of myself. No. I thought preaching was foolish. We need to move on from this, preacher. You keep saying the same thing over and over. I want to learn something new. And God arrested me. Oh, he arrested me. And I found out the preaching of the cross was not foolishness, it was power. Look what he says. But to them that perish it is foolishness, but unto us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is what? It is the power of God. The power of God. Why? It's written. When you hear that, that's just an end of all debate. It's written. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, is what he did to me. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, that's what he did to me. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? He did. For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness, what men call foolishness, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of the cross is the only means by which this redemption, the means of our redemption was the blood of Christ. He was totally successful to redeem all that he died for. He rose again from the grave, and now all power is given to him so that he should give eternal life, listen, to as many as the Father had given him. And what is the evidence of that? It is faith. And where does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, I will always, by the grace and power of God, preach to you the success, the victory of Jesus Christ, because that's the power of God. That's what God uses. He does not use the power of positive thinking. Laugh. That's exactly what they're doing. If you just determine in yourself to be a good person, God will accept you. My question is, where's the blood? Where's the blood? Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Therefore, we will constantly preach the cross of Jesus Christ to you. I will set him up. And listen to this. If Christ redeemed me, if his blood took away my sin, if it's successful, then my sins are gone. If my sins are gone, I am holy. I am. By virtue of his blood, my sins have been made gone. Therefore, his blood sanctified me, made me holy. His blood justified me, made me to be without sin. And his blood allowed the righteousness of God to be given to me. Therefore, I am received of God, accepted by virtue of my union with him completely. What do I add to that? Are you so foolish to begin by the Spirit and then be made perfect by the flesh? How did you receive Christ? Was it by the law or by the hearing of faith? These are rhetorical questions, by the way. They all know the answer. Of course we received it by the Spirit. Of course we received it by the hearing of faith. He said, even so, walk like that. Continue to walk by faith. Not looking to anything you've done. Why? The cross of Christ has redeemed me. The cross of Christ has justified me. The cross of Christ has sanctified me. The cross of Christ has made me acceptable with God. Therefore, all the glory for my salvation, my spiritual growth, it all belongs to God. We glorify God. We praise God. Because Christ is all my salvation. I pray that God bless this and make this effectual to you. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Most gracious Father in heaven, be merciful to us today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the cross of Christ, that it has been evidently set forth among us. Father, that you would give us, everyone in this place, faith to lay hold on him. Be gracious to us that we should by faith receive him as all our standing before you. And let us be careful to give you the glory that even our faith is a gift of thy mercy. And keep us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.